Welcome back to Sound Medicine. I'm Barbara Lewis. We want to tell you now about a device that's still in the investigational phase, which means it hasn't yet even been submitted to the FDA for approval. But when we heard about something called a bionic pancreas, well, we thought you would be interested too.
On the surface of things, it might actually look a little bit more like a smartphone if you looked at it, except it would have two plastic tubes coming out of it, which itself would be a little bit strange.
Ed Damiano is a biomechanical engineer. When his 11-month-old son, David, was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, Ed started working on a device to help manage David's blood sugar levels automatically. And before we tell you more about how that bionic pancreas works, just a reminder about how people with diabetes go through a typical day. Dr. Steve Russell is a diabetes specialist at Harvard Medical School and Massachusetts General Hospital.
Well, when people manage their own diabetes, which is what everyone with type 1 does, because decisions have to be made many times a day, they check their blood sugars with a finger prick typically, and some of them use these continuous glucose monitors. They then look at the food they're about to eat, if they're going to eat, and they take all that information and use some ratios of numbers that their endocrinologist gives them, and they calculate an insulin dose, and then they program that insulin dose into a pump, or they give themselves a shot. And then a couple hours later, they'll check to see how they're doing, and they may make another adjustment, may take another insulin dose. If they're going to get really good control, they have to do that between 10 and 15 times a day. And if they make a mistake, the consequences can be a very high blood sugar that then has to be treated with extra insulin, or a very low blood sugar, which can be very dangerous. In the early stages, it can cause shaking and sweating, and in the later stages, it can cause unconsciousness, seizures, and even death. So they're constantly walking this line.
Okay, so back to Ed Damiano. He and his wife, who's a pediatrician, quickly learned to manage their son's blood sugar levels. But they worried about what would happen when nobody was around, say at night, or if David was away from them for more than a few hours.
That's the scary part in my mind is, you know, what does David do in the middle of the night when no one's watching over his shoulder and his blood sugar goes low? And this is the fear so many people with type 1 diabetes live with. And their response to it, by and large, is to be more conservative in the way they take care of their blood sugars at night. They let their blood sugars typically run higher than they would during the day. It's fear of very, very low blood sugars when you're not alert and on the ball, because there can be, you know, grave consequences to severe hypoglycemia.
So Damiano got to work using what he knows about fluid mechanics to design a better way to manage blood sugar levels.
It was early on after that diagnosis that it became clear to me that I had some skill sets I could lend to the problem of building a device that could automate the decision-making side of insulin delivery. And at the same time, I thought that that same system ought to use two hormones, both insulin, which lowers blood sugar, which is what people with diabetes use today to manage their blood sugar, and glucagon, which is another hormone which raises blood sugar. So they kind of work opposite to one another, sort of like an accelerator and a brake in a car. So it was at that time that I was really committed to building something like this, once I saw that the pieces were there, possibilities were there. And as the technology developed in my lab and we began testing it in animals, and then we moved to Boston University and did animal and human studies, I really got committed to this notion of trying to get something done in time for my son before he goes off to college, where the full burden of diabetes would fall squarely on his shoulders.
The bionic pancreas has three main components.
One is an insulin pump. In fact, we use two insulin pumps, one that delivers insulin and another that's been repurposed to deliver glucagon. Another component is what's called a continuous glucose monitor, and that's a device that streams glucose levels every 5 minutes into a little handheld receiver unit that people with type 1 diabetes today carry with them. Not a lot of people use this technology, but under 10% of people in this country with type 1 diabetes do use this device to help them with their blood sugar management. So that's the second component, both of which, the pumping component and the CGM, the continuous glucose monitor, are FDA-approved devices people use to take care of their diabetes today. But the third technology is the piece that goes in the middle. It's what we call the control algorithm. It's really mathematical equations transcribed in software that run on a smartphone. Initially, we had built these algorithms and ran them on a laptop computer and bridged the continuous glucose monitor and the pump with the laptop computer, and the continuous glucose data would stream into the laptop. The software running on the laptop would make these therapeutic decisions to determine how much insulin and glucagon to deliver through the pumps every 5 minutes.
One big difference is that the bionic pancreas doesn't just administer insulin. It also can deliver glucagon. Here's Dr. Russell.
Insulin and glucagon are both hormones that are released by the islet part of the pancreas. So the pancreas has the part that makes digestive enzymes, and then scattered throughout it are these little islets of cells that contain beta cells that make insulin and alpha cells that make glucagon. The insulin lowers blood glucose by telling all the cells of the body to take that glucose into themselves, out of the blood and into the cells. And that's a critical step for those cells to get the nutrition that they need and for the body to store carbohydrates or sugar in the liver in the form of glycogen. Glucagon is made by the alpha cells of the pancreas, and when the blood sugar is too low or dropping, in the normally functioning pancreas, this glucagon will be released, and it will inhibit the effects of insulin, and specifically in the liver, it'll take that stored sugar and release it into the bloodstream. So insulin and glucagon provide a push-pull, yin and yang. One lowers blood glucose and the other raises it.
Ed Damiano told me that one goal of the bionic pancreas is to simplify the daily food decisions people with diabetes have to manage.
Where you have to sort of think about, you know, how many carbohydrates am I eating? And what is the effect of these carbohydrates on my blood sugar? How much insulin do I need to give to treat the carbohydrates I'm about to eat? And, you know, is there a lot of fat and protein in this meal? Because that'll slow down the absorption of all these carbs, and it'll make the way I deliver the insulin different relative to a food with a high glycemic index. And what if I overdose? You know, do I have carbs around to offset the extra insulin that I gave myself? And what if I have to exercise? And how do I have to take account of the, you know, I have to maybe cut back on the insulin in advance of exercise? And what if I go to sleep? You know, am I safe? Is my blood sugar dropping going into bed? So the management side is this constant, relentless burden of having to think about all these things that people without diabetes just take for granted. They have to think about so many decisions every day.
With the bionic pancreas, you say, I'm about to have a meal that's either a snack, a less than typical size, a typical size, or a more than typical size, and that's it. And what the system does is it learns what that means to you over time and then gives you part of the insulin it thinks you're going to need for a meal of that size, and then it fills in the rest automatically based on what your blood sugar does.
In early trials, the calculations were done on a laptop that connected the monitor and pump. Since then, Damiano and colleagues have written the algorithm into a smartphone app, which now acts as the bridge.
The pumps are controlled by the phone through Bluetooth. So there's a wireless communication between the iPhone and the insulin and glucagon pump. And there's a wireless communication between the sensor that you put on your body and change every week or so into the device that plugs into the iPhone, the receiver that plugs into the iPhone.
Prototypes of the bionic pancreas have been tested on both adolescents and adults. The early studies ran for 5 days each and required that every subject be constantly monitored by a nurse in case something went wrong. Now a larger study is underway based in Boston.
This study is quite different because we give them the bionic pancreas, we train them how to use it, how to refill the reservoirs, how to do the calibrations, and then we send them home and we don't see them again for 11 days. And they go to work, they go to school, they go out at night, you know, they do whatever it is that they do. And that provides them an additional level of flexibility that they didn't have in our previous studies. And importantly, it's a longer study. When somebody uses an insulin pump, that provides a convenient way for them to administer insulin, but they have to make all the decisions about how much insulin to give. The bionic pancreas takes over that decision-making process. And so there are two pumps, and they're right now they're just regular insulin pumps that are controlled by the bionic pancreas, one to give insulin and one to give glucagon, but the bionic pancreas makes all the decisions and automatically tells the pump to give insulin or give glucagon, and then the pump automatically gives it. And then 5 minutes later, the device sees what the blood glucose is again, sends another set of commands to the pumps. So it all happens automatically, and the decision-making is taken out of the hands of the person with diabetes.
So that's the burden of diabetes management, and that's what we're trying to reduce or as much as possible eliminate. with this bionic pancreas. The bionic pancreas, all it asks to get started is your weight. The only thing you type into the bionic pancreas to get our device initialized is the person's body weight. And then it immediately begins with every five-minute step, it gets a new glucose level. And every 5 minutes, it's learning more and more about the insulin needs this person has. And it's giving both insulin and glucagon, so it's there to protect the lows. Because even a device that's very smart, like ours is in terms of dosing out insulin, still can find itself in a situation where there's too much insulin because the person's circumstances change. They might suddenly become very physically active and have a burst of activity for whatever reason. People have spontaneity that they have to, you know, allow in their lives, and you have to have a device that can accommodate that. And so if suddenly you've got too much insulin on board because you've gotten very physically active for one reason or another, we've got glucagon there to help prevent the hypoglycemia. The system has alarms as well, but ultimately it's trying to be as autonomous as possible.
The version of the device we're using now is entirely an experimental device, and it's not approved, and it's not for sale. And it contains multiple components that talk together wirelessly. The final device will be a single integrated device, and it'll be much easier to use and more reliable.
We've made a great deal of progress in the evolution of this technology over the past 6 years in human studies, and I'm really satisfied with its ability to handle blood glucose in people in adolescents and adults. They're very different needs in terms of the amount of insulin adults and adolescents use and how rapidly it can adapt and how responsive it is to the changing insulin requirements of people, even within the same subject, day to day and, hour to hour.
You sound so excited. This is a wonderful device, and everyone else is excited. But I'm wondering, has your son been able to try out this yet?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think
no. So there's a couple of problems with that. First of all, you can't just try out the device. It's got to be done in the context of a clinical trial, an FDA-approved and IRB-cleared clinical trial. So he'd have to be an enrolled subject in one of my trials to test the device. And, of course, I wouldn't let that happen because there's conflict of interest to have my son in any one of the clinical trials that I'd be designing and executing. So he's just going to have to wait with everybody else.
Yeah, and is he excited about it?
He is. I mean, I think he has high expectations that we'll deliver on the timeline that I've been, you know, articulating for these past years.
So you'll send him off to college with one?
And that's the goal, of course. That's 38 months away, and I'm hoping to see that all happen. Of course, he's expecting it. I'm hopeful for it. I'm optimistic, but there's a lot of challenges, of course, that we need to overcome to get this thing to that point in a pretty short space of time, really, when you think about it. It's really satisfying to hear how subjects have responded to that, our study subjects saying, this frees me up to think about so many things that don't involve my diabetes now, and it just makes me more, higher capacity person, you know?
In case you're wondering, David Damiano is now a high school freshman and keeping his fingers crossed. We have some video that shows what the bionic pancreas will look like. You can find it on our website. Just go to soundmedicine.org.